peace. Peace. Aren't you glad to know that with all the hustle and the bustle and the busyness and the craziness of Christmas, there's peace in Christ, isn't there? There's peace in Him. And there have been multiple groups that have surveyed and polled adults at Christmas season throughout the years and have asked the question, if you could have anything this Christmas, any gift at all, what gift would you choose? So money's no object. There's no boundary to the size or the scope of the gift. What gift would you choose? And what do you think the number one answer on every one of those surveys every single time has been? Peace. Peace on earth. Peace in our life. You know, people long for peace, don't they? We long for peace in our marriages, and our families, our neighborhoods, our schools, our communities, in our nation, in our country, in the world. And yet so many live without true peace. And the evidence of that all around us is devastating, isn't it? When you see sexual immorality, sexual brokenness, gender confusion, broken homes, divided families, violence, lawlessness. I mean, just this past week in our own community, you know, there was a kid arrested at Rossview High School who had brought a weapon to school with ammunition. At Richview Middle, where I have... child who goes there. At Richview Middle, there were social media posts and another kid who was, you know, taken into custody because of threats on the school and on other kids. And I don't know about you, but are you afraid? Is there some fear in our hearts in these days? Absolutely it is, isn't it? I mean, we just need to acknowledge that and get honest about it. There's fear and there's anxiety there. When we look at our country and all of the political turmoil and the racial tension and the violence and the lawlessness and the sexual brokenness and all this stuff, there's so much fear in our hearts for like our own, like our families and our kids and our friends and church family. I mean, there's so much fear there. And the world tries to give us all these forms of escape to get away from that fear, to like, numb the fear. Numb the pain. Drugs. Alcohol. Pornography. Sexual immorality. Wealth. Possessions. Money. You know, success. Education. All this stuff. They're just forms of escape that ultimately give no peace at all, do they? No peace at all. But the wonderful truth about Christmas is about Jesus. It's all about the Son of God stepping right into the middle of our junk, our stuff, our broken world, and bringing real peace. Offering mankind a real sense of peace. And listen, I've got good news this Christmas season. This Christmas, you and I, we can have peace through Jesus. We can have peace, first of all, with God. We can have peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, justified means made right with God, by faith in Him, it says we have what? Peace with God through Jesus' shed blood. Our sin makes us enemies of God. But Jesus, through His cross, when we repent of our sin and place faith in Him, now we have peace with Him. So this Christmas, you and I, we can have peace with God through Jesus. Also, we can have peace with man. With man. In Ephesians chapter 2, it goes on to talk about that peace in verse 13. It says, now Christ, in Christ, those who were far off have been brought near. Aren't you glad we've been brought near, man, into the family of God? Through what? Through the blood of Jesus, the atonement. Only His blood can atone for our sins. And then it goes on to say that He is our peace. So peace is the possession, hello, children of God, that we have in Christ when we know Him. And it goes on to say, now he has broken down this dividing wall of hostility, brought us together, two as one. He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. But you could add to that socioeconomic classes, races, nationalities, lifestyle choices. I mean, in the gospel, he breaks down all those barriers and brings together this one big loving family called the church. The cross has two beams. Did you realize that? Vertical and horizontal. It makes us right with God, but it also gives us this deep desire to be right with mankind. And so this Christmas, we can have peace with God. We have peace with man. Hey, here you go. We can have peace of mind, right? Have I got any other parents in the room that want to join the preacher and needing some peace of mind today? You know what I'm saying? Not worry about stuff like for my kids and my family. And so peace of mind. I need God's peace in the stuff of life. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, says it like this. You will keep in perfect peace he whose mind is stayed, focused, steadfast upon you because he trusts in you. And so you can have peace, you and I, we can have peace of mind this Christmas, no matter the difficulties around us. But not only can we have peace of mind, we also can have peace of heart. Peace in our heart, deep within our soul. In Colossians chapter 3, it says this. In Colossians 3, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you're called into one body, and be, what's that next word, church? Come on, say it with me. And be thankful. How do you let the peace of God rule in your heart? When you choose thanksgiving over complaint and criticism. And boy, don't we all do that? I do at times. And so when we choose thankfulness, gratitude. So instead of complaining about the problems, when I choose to focus on the blessings that God has given me, right? Peace rules. Peace. So do you have peace in your heart, your mind, in your life this Christmas season? Do you have the peace of God? If not, today you can call on the name of Jesus and have peace. Now, today is a little bit of a counseling session. You know what I'm saying? Y'all are coming into Pastor Derek's office, or really, we're all coming into Jesus' office and laying on his couch today. You know what I'm saying? And we're talking a lot about trauma in our society, aren't we? Mental health, suicidal ideation, man, is on the exponential rise and has been. COVID just lit that thing on fire, didn't it, for a whole lot of people. And trauma and pain and all this stuff is for real. Mental health is a real crisis in our country, even more so, I would argue, now than the physical pandemic. Why do I bring that up? Well, listen to me. Pastor Derek is no licensed professional counselor, okay? Christian counseling is a good thing. Can I get a witness on that for some of us in the room who walked through that? It's good to walk through and talk through the stuff in your life. And there are folks that are really gifted in that, that love God and have real understanding and giftedness in that area to walk through stuff and help you work through deep pain, hurt, and trauma in your life. But I will add to that, we almost feel like in this society, like we have to apologize for telling somebody just go to Jesus and get some peace. Hello. And what we're going to see with Mary today is she is facing incredible struggle. We said this last week, right? There's no baby showers for Mary. Have you thought about this? There was no wedding ceremony. They were betrothed. Everything's awesome. They're doing everything right. And all of a sudden now she's a hussy and they're not having a wedding ceremony. Like Jewish tradition is, man, it's a week long party, excitement. And what? That ain't going to happen either. And so all this stuff, and now she's bearing, see the picture? She's bearing the reproach of Christ, just like we're called to do in this culture and in this society, be a witness for him. And all this hardship, and by the way, this ought to encourage children of God today, but it's not by her doing. She's walking through hardship that God put on her. Some of you may be walking through hard stuff today, and it's not the result of your mistakes. It's the result of the Messiah. He's trying to do some stuff in your life. And you may not understand it, but he's at work in it. I can tell you he's at work based on the authority of God's word. But instead of choosing to focus on her problems, she chose to claim God's promises. Come on, somebody. She didn't focus on her problems. She chose to focus on God's promises, to claim his promises and to praise him. And when she got that prophetic word, man, she had already surrendered to God's will, but she needed encouragement. God speaks through Elizabeth, And all of a sudden she receives that word and she says, hey, I believe it. I'm going to praise God. Okay? With a peaceful heart of gratitude. Let's look together. Luke 1. Let's look at the Magnificat together. Verse 46. And we're going to see in this passage where peace resides. Where peace resides. How can I walk in peace this Christmas? Well, there's peace in Jesus, and he gives us some specific direction for how to receive and walk in his peace. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 46. And Mary said, after she heard that prophetic word from Elizabeth, Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He's looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And don't you see it? I mean, it's like some spiritual defiance going on up in here. You know, she's like, man, everybody else is calling me like dirty and outcast. But for the rest of all of history, they're going to call me blessed up in here. So I'm going to choose to look at the hereafter instead of the now. And she says, man, all generations are going to call me blessed. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Can I get a witness from anybody else today? Anybody else want to testify that God's been good to you? Yes, he's been good to us. So let's be grateful. Holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. She's walking the proverbial generational dog, man, all the way down the line. Look how good God is and how good he's going to be. When that kingdom comes, and this son of mine, who is the Son of God, is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has shown strength, verse 51. He has shown strength with his arm. He scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and he has exalted those of humble estate. He's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Father, today, pour out your Holy Spirit in this place. We do speak peace over your people today. And God, help us by faith to receive that word. Lord, this word of wisdom, that we have peace in you if we know you. And for those who don't know you today, draw them to yourself. Open their hearts to the gospel. Holy Spirit of God, bring salvation and bring real peace. Jesus, it's in your powerful name we pray all these things. Amen and amen. If you want peace this Christmas season, come to Jesus. And specifically in this passage, Mary gives us some indication as to how to appropriate that peace, where peace resides, if you will. But before we look at four application points this morning, I think we need to define peace, don't we, in this society? We need to define what peace really is. Peace is not, are you listening? Peace is not the absence of trouble, it's the presence of God in your life. It's acknowledging God's presence in the midst of your trouble. Let me say that again. Peace is not the absence of trouble. Jesus said in this life, you will have trouble. But we can take courage because, what? He said, I have overcome the world. And so trial and tribulation comes. John MacArthur had a great definition of peace. He said it like this. He said, true spiritual peace is completely different from the superficial, ephemeral, fragile human peace. What's he talking about? Emotions, feelings. Peace is not a feeling necessarily, although we can be happy in Jesus, can't we? But it's more than a feeling. He goes on to say, it is the deep, settled confidence that all is well between the soul and God because of his loving, sovereign control of one's life, both in time and in eternity. Let me say that definition again because it bears repeating. Peace, what is it? The deep, settled confidence that all is well between the soul and God because of his loving, sovereign control of one's life, both in time and eternity. How many of you testify today, hey, I know God's in control of my life. Come on now. Is he in control? Yes, he is sovereign God. He is Jesus. Died for our sins, rose from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of God. He intercedes for us, for those of us who know him. And it's good to know today that heaven is not up in arms. Heaven is at complete peace today. God is at complete peace. And so peace ultimately is that deep settled confidence that God's in control, man, and I can trust him. And in Psalm chapter 29, verse 11, it tells us that God blesses his people with peace. He gives us strength and he gives us peace. In Galatians chapter 5, one of the seeds, if you will, of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Peace, love, joy, and what? It's number three there. Listed, peace. And so the Spirit-filled life. Children of God, if we want to have peace, we walk in the Spirit. The times where I'm not at peace, I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm walking in the flesh. Isn't that right? And so peace is from God today. And so how do we walk in peace? We get a picture of that from Mary here in her outburst of praise. Number one, there's peace in intimacy. There's peace in intimacy. Now, what do I mean by intimacy? I'm talking about an intimate walk with God. Intimate, not just daily, but moment by moment, situation by situation, circumstance by circumstance, decision by decision, walk with God. I don't know about you, but do you get to that place in your day at work or with family or wherever where you just forget to pray? Do you do that? I guess the pastor's the only one that needs a little bit of spiritual kick in the pants today. I guess y'all don't need that. Right? I just forget to pray. I just got to be honest with you. I'm buzzing along. I had my quiet time. I have a good time with the Lord in the morning. Man, I'm praying, seeking his heart. And I'm like, okay, God, hey, talk to you later. And then I'm going to go out here and confess Christ, but then live as a practical atheist. I find that in my own life. And what God's calling us to, if we're really going to have peace, he whose mind is stayed upon you, you will keep in perfect peace. Isn't that right? And so I have to be reminded continually, oftentimes through my own mistakes, that like I need to be a whole lot more focused on God. And I need to slow down. Anybody else just wide open all the time, right, with your family and stuff? Yeah, so I need to slow down and hear from the Lord before I move forward a lot more than I do. And God's calling us to that. Listen, peace, there's peace in intimacy. She says here, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices. It was incredibly hard circumstances around her, but her soul was free. Her soul could worship. Her spirit could rejoice. Listen, your body can be ravaged with disease, but your soul can still be free and rejoicing. Listen, the relationships around you can be falling apart, but when you come to Jesus with it, all of a sudden, man, everything starts to change in your heart, although it takes time to rebuild trust and to restore those relationships. I mean, all of a sudden, your soul can be set free and you can be on a path to restoration, right? Well, there can be all kinds of crazy stuff going on around us. In our workplace, with colleagues and coworkers and others, man, it can be in turmoil or a lot of dissension or tension within the workplace. But man, in your heart, if you're seeking the Lord and you're praying, you can know that it's all right. That God's a good provider. And he gives us wisdom to honor him in all that we do. And so there's peace, listen, in intimacy. Think about it. Intimate prayer. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. What does it say there? Don't be anxious about anything. But through prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, there's that word again. It's interesting how peace and gratitude go together. But it says, you know, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, right? In prayer, bring it to him. And the, what, church? Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind, will protect you in that place, will keep you from making stupid decisions when you're stressed out, you're angry. Will keep you from doing things you shouldn't do when the flesh is pulling at you. It's so intimate prayer, but also intimate praise. Praise. Every time I come to the house of God, I get blessed. Anybody else feel that way? You know, we come in and we talk about putting the mask on. You know, you hear that oftentimes in churches. Like, well, we all just wear a mask. Like, how are you doing? Fine. Everything's great. Yeah. You know, and do we say what really has gone on, you know, in our hearts and our minds throughout the week? And so the church should be a place where we're genuine. Isn't that right? Where we're open and honest. Mary, I'm going to give you a little foreshadowing. We'll be there in just a moment. Mary went to Elizabeth's house because they're carrying a similar burden. She found somebody who understood what she's going through. A similar struggle that God had put on her. And so she needed to find somebody to carry the burden with her. And so, so we come in and, you know, we need to be genuine. But I would add to that, listen to me, when I come into this place and I put a smile on my face and I sing worship to God, I'm not faking it, I'm faithing it. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? I'm not faking it. I got junk just like you do. I got hardship just like you do. In our home, we got hardship too. We walk through all that. But we're not faking it. We're faithing it. What we're saying is God's bigger than all that stuff, man. And I'm going to come worship Him. And it's amazing how much blessing comes when I go to God and I say, okay, God, I screwed up. And this stuff is hard. But you know what? You're awesome and you're God. And I'm just going to believe you got this. And I'm going to come and ask you to fill me with your spirit again. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Fill me. And then, God, I'm going to trust that you're going to work in all this stuff. That you're going to bring beauty from ashes. That you're going to bring life from death. I mean, isn't that the gospel? Hello. Come on, church. That's what we do. There is peace in intimacy. Child of God, listen to me. Maybe we're lacking peace today. Maybe we're stressed out because we're not praying. Because we're not in prayer with the Lord. We're not staying in that place. We're not being still and knowing that He is God. Maybe we lack peace today because we're not choosing praise over our problems, choosing God's promises over the issues that we're walking through. And so there's peace in intimacy. But secondly, we'll keep going this morning. There's also peace in community. Do you know that? There's peace in the body of Christ. I've preached this passage multiple times, but for whatever reason, I had never seen it like this, and the Lord brought it alive to me this week in my study. Aren't you glad that God's Word's fresh and new every time you go to it? I mean, isn't it awesome? It's just new stuff that just comes. And I'd never seen it before. But Elizabeth, Mary, she gets the news, and she's like, ain't nobody going to believe me, and I'm going to be shunned, and it's going to be real hard. And so she says, but wait a minute. I know Elizabeth, my relative. I know that she's pregnant right now, and it's a supernatural work of God. That's what she said. And so God's doing something in her just like He's doing in me. And she's carrying a burden right now too. And so I'm going to go to her house. And I'm going to go to a place where it's safe. I'm going to go to a place where I won't be judged. I'm going to go to a place where I'll be loved and received for who I am in that place. And so she goes to Elizabeth's house. And so church, don't miss the picture. Listen to me. The church is supposed to be Elizabeth's house. It's a picture of the church. This is what it is. Mary, she receives the news. She submits to the will of God. Okay, have your way in me. Then she goes to Elizabeth's house. She gets a word of encouragement, a prophetic word that God speaks in her life. Every time we gather, God's got a word for you, by the way. You need to come expect it to hear from God. And so she gets a word. And then all of a sudden, her and Elizabeth both go out. And the witness is born and the Messiah is born. Isn't that interesting? That's a picture of the church. And so too, listen to me, you and I, we were created for community. God told Adam in the Garden of Eden, He said, listen, it's not good for you to be alone. And He put him to sleep and performed the first surgery and took a rib from his side and made Eve. Brought her to the man, the wife there, a helpmate suitable for him, joint heirs, co-heirs of the grace of life there to love and encourage and serve and support one another. And the picture there, yes, it's a beautiful picture of marriage, but it doesn't mean that if you don't get married, you don't live a fulfilled life. In fact, Jesus never was married. We see that the Apostle Paul never was married. I mean, there were multiple men and women in the Scriptures who stayed single, celibate. And so what's the picture there? You and I, we were created for gospel-centered relationships. We need one another. Jesus is our Savior. He's our Savior. Other people are not our Saviors, right? My hope and my faith is not in other people. But God did create us for community. And so we do need the church to grow in our faith. That's all throughout God's Word. And we see that beautiful picture here with Mary. This is what the church should be. Church, are you listening? This should be a place where people can come in just as they are and not be judged. Not looked down upon. They should be made to feel welcomed and loved in this place. And the grace of God always welcomes us just as we are, but won't let us stay the same. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? That's what the grace of God does. And so that's what the church is to be. Shame, shame, shame on the church, or a church that is unwelcoming to people. By the way, the world was judging Mary, and Mary was right and they was wrong. Hello. Be careful what you say God won't do, or how he won't work, or who's wrong and not right. Be careful, because you just might be in the wrong yourself. So there's peace. Where? In community. Listen to me. If you want peace today, man, get plugged into the church. Find a good family group. We're going to help you with that. We come back after the first of the year. We're going to be promoting family groups a ton, and we're revamping some stuff there. And we're going to send out a survey, by the way, Living Hope Faithful, because we want to get some thoughts from you on how to continue to grow our groups and build those relationships. But come, get connected, get in relationship. And find another couple. Guys, find another guy. Ladies, find another lady that you can go to and say, man, pray for me in this. Walk with me through this. And then church, all of us, listen to this. All of us are called to the ministry. Do you realize that? We're all called to pray for one another, minister to one another, and encourage one another. That's what the body of Christ is all about. So there's peace in intimacy. There's peace in community. Number three, there's peace in humility. One of my favorite sayings in our house is, this is not rocket science. Like my eighth grader's in the room right here, you know, got other kids in kids worship right now. I mean, they could tell you that. I just like, that's my thing. This is not rocket science, right? Like, you know, our little guys. Do y'all deal with this? Stop fighting over the toy right now. Like, don't get in a fist fight over a Lego, for crying out loud. This is not rocket science, right? This is just theology. It's the Bible. Like, it's simple. Just stop. Quit playing handsies in the vehicle. Anybody else got that in your world? Some handsies in the van. Stop fiddling and stop smacking and carrying on in the van. I'm going to kill you. I mean, like, literally, somebody's going to die today if you don't stop. I was talking to some of the police officers in our church not too long ago. I said, listen, dude, I need to borrow your taser. Okay, just let me borrow the taser by 2 days. I think I can fix some problems pretty quick with the taser. Anybody else want to tase somebody up in here? You know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like that. Listen, quit arguing, quit fighting. Food in our house, right? When you have 4 boys and a fifth being me, but, you know, I step back and let them have at it. But when it comes to dinner time, listen, somebody will lose a limb over dipping out some potatoes. You know what I'm talking about? There's like this constant battle, like who's going to get food first and who's going to get the most. Statement again, this is not rocket science. Stop. There's enough for everybody, right? Share. Okay. Oh, my goodness. And we pick on our kids, but there's a whole lot of adults acting like children in this society, isn't it? You know, when you look at this passage, I mean, Mary doesn't go on a self-defense campaign. She doesn't go door to door in Nazareth knocking on the door saying, hey, listen, let me tell you what really happened, okay? Holy Spirit came. She's like, that's not going to work. People are not going to believe it. It's going to take time for people to see this and believe this. She didn't go on a self-defense campaign. She didn't get on Nazareth Twitter. You know what I'm talking about? Nazareth Facebook and start the PR campaign. Or start to dog everybody that's disagreeing with her. But for some reason in this society, and I would add to that, in the church, we've bought into this idea that that's the way you're supposed to do life. That if somebody criticizes you, you're supposed to criticize back. If somebody says something negative about you, you're supposed to get on social media or in the workplace, you know, but criticize them too. And, you know, if somebody hurts you, you're supposed to hurt them back. If somebody sues you, you're supposed to sue them back. I mean, that's the society we have before us, and it's made its way into the church. But doesn't Jesus teach us the opposite? He says, listen, somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. If somebody takes your coat, you know, give them your shirt too. And it's like, what? Like in this society, even as Christians, you just stop a minute and you say, really? And then Jesus is like, Really? Really? Yeah, really. That's the path to joy. The path to joy is just trusting in me as your provider, me as your deliverer, me as your avenger if somebody hurts you or harms you. It doesn't mean that you don't address issues or situations. I'm not talking about just sweeping stuff under the rug, right? Peace is not the absence of trouble. It's the presence of God. But at the same time, we're putting so much hope in man and in stuff and instead of just in Christ. Man, our society would be a whole lot better if a whole lot of us would just shut up. Hello. If we'd tell our mouth and our thumbs to shut up. It's not about defending yourself. It's not about self-justification. Man, just rest in the gospel. God will take care of all that stuff. And he'll give you wisdom when there's times where you have to address situations and circumstances. But otherwise, listen, just rest in the gospel. Quit tearing one another down. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. You can also translate it, cease striving and know that I am God. Did you know in the original language, the idea there is of an exasperated parent who is separating siblings? When we read that passage so often, we think about the serenity of it, like be still and know, right? And there's a part of that that, yes, I need to be still in life and just know he's God and pray and seek him. But the context there is talking about the people of Israel who were at war with one another. And he's like, dude, why are y'all fighting? Dude is a theological term, by the way. Yeah. He's like, dude, what? You know, God's like, what are y'all doing? Why are you fighting? What's the deal? And that's the world we live in today. Listen, this is not rocket science. It's theology. You want to have peace in your life? Stop fighting. It's like where the Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth. He said, man, just stop sinning. I mean, that's a good one, isn't it? I need that like every day. And it's not performance mentality. What he's saying is, I've already given you everything in the gospel. Will you just stop being an idiot? And for Mary here, she's coming to that realization that what God's doing is he's teaching the world that my ways are not your ways. She's like, I'm an unassuming, unimportant in the eyes of the world, unimportant peasant girl. You know, why have you chosen me? And she says, but you know what? Man, God is for the humble. He scatters the proud. He leaves the rich empty. Doesn't mean it's wrong to have riches. It's wrong to set your hope on riches. In the Bible, Paul told Timothy, he said, teach those who are rich in this world to be generous and to give and to be ready to share. And so she's declaring all this stuff. She says, God, you are for those who walk in humility. Hey, listen today. If you want peace in your life, just stop fighting others. Stop fighting God. Stop trying to do it on your own. Just surrender to him. Just rest in him. Humble yourself. That's how we receive eternal life. And that's how we walk in the Spirit, is in humility, saying, God, it's not about my words or my education or my experience or, you know, my rights, what I'm entitled to. No. You are good. You're God. You're in this stuff. Give me wisdom, and I'm going to trust in you. Oh, there's peace. Where? In intimacy, in community, in humility. But then fourthly and lastly, there's peace in praise. Isn't there? There's peace in praise. Praise. For Mary, she's facing incredible hardship, and I've already referred to this. I've already made this statement, but it bears repeating here. For Mary, she chooses to praise. She chooses not to accentuate her problems. She chooses to claim and to acknowledge God's promises, to praise him. It's a lot like Peter. Miss Emma and our band sang earlier, peace be still, you know. The waves may be roaring, but God, you're going to give me peace in this. I'm not going to fear the storm and all that. When God called Peter to step out on that water, listen, all around them the wind was blowing. The water was choppy. Because the scripture says that when he fell in the water, he started looking at the wind and the waves around him, didn't he? But when God called him out and he set his eyes on Jesus, listen, this is so good today because you're walking through this. Some of you here today, you're walking through the hardship. It's tumultuous. It's windy. It's stormy in your life. But when he set his eyes on Jesus, now that which was shaky and tossed by the wind became what? Solid ground under his feet. He walked on water. And listen, today, I don't know what you're walking through, whether it's in your marriage or with your kids or relationships or financially, physically, emotional hardship, depression, anxiety. I don't know what you're walking through today. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, addiction, habit, whatever it is. It may be real stormy around you, but listen to me. When you set your eyes on Jesus and you choose to praise, it's amazing how that storm-tossed water becomes solid ground under your feet. And now, listen, you're not sinking in it, you're walking on top of it. Come on now. And for children of God today, listen, that we need to claim that. Say, listen, I'm not going to sink in this stuff. God, with your help, I'm going to walk on top of it. That's a prophetic word for somebody today. I don't know who needs that, but that's for somebody. Listen, to claim and make that your statement this week. Listen, I'm going to walk on this water. I'm going to walk on this. Hey, man, this stuff is stormy. It's hard, but I'm going to walk on this, Jesus, because of your power, not mine, but because of your power and because you're God and you're over it all. I'm going to walk on this stuff. Peace. Do you have peace?